Neil, we are recording an episode of All Consumed. It's been a while since we've done one because we've been out consuming all sorts of things.
It has been a while.
Having fun. And at the moment, where are we, Neil?
We are currently in a Dunkin' Donuts.
Did you know there were Dunkin' Donuts in Soho?
I had no idea there was a Dunkin'
London?
Donuts in Soho.
Yeah, I didn't either until we walked by.
We had them a few years ago. It's like back in the early days of Taco Bell, what's now that bizarre restaurant on Coventry Street. Used to be a Taco Bell back in the day. The Nando's in Earl's Court was a Taco Bell. They all kind of disappeared, and then obviously Taco Bell's kind of creeping back. Dunkin' Donuts had vanished completely, and now, as you say, we're just walking down Wardour Street, and like, I'm sorry?
My concern is now that I've had a hazel pie donut, that is going to creep back on me later. So, they have a way of coming back, don't they?
That's
come back, kid. Ooh,
cheap
there
sugar.
You go. Ooh.
Cheap sugar. There we go. That'll
What'd you
it.
Call me?
I called you cheap sugar.
Yeah. Just don't call
it's
me sugar.
Important. It's very important where you put that comma.
Well, there you go. All right. So anyway, but before that, I just had a sip of this coffee. And
I mean, you seem genuinely impressed.
I am pretty much cheap, but I do spend money on coffee because it means a lot to me. And I have to say, this is actually a very nice iced Americano, and perfect for a kind of a muggy, rainy, not hot, not cold, but muggy day in London. We've had a lot of those recently.
Yeah,
and I'm enjoying this coffee, and I'm surprised. We were just kind of looking for a refuge, a place to record.
Indeed. Like, we had just been to the Instagram sensation, that is Supernova.
Yes, which is a fantastic burger place, but with no room or
no toilets, no nothing.
But a long queue to get a very basic but delicious burger.
That was terrific.
I love my house burger. Did you love your house burger?
I had the house, So it's choice of two burgers, it fries, choice of two sundaes, and a few soft drinks, and that was kind of it. It's a bit like I mean, launching into where we've been and what we've been up to.
There goes that donut.
I was in Seattle, and they have a very similar simple burger place, the classically named Dick's, which is obviously open to hardly any jokes whatsoever.
No, not at all.
While I was eating a bag of dicks. I knew I was in the right place because we walked past the car park and there were guys with their dicks all over their cars. Yeah. It was great.
Probably best wear a bib, except you eat a dick.
So we had 3 days of endless dicks jokes.
Okay. Wow.
But it was probably, I think there's a joke in there as well. But somebody had told me they were once in a dicks where they saw.
Now
they have a superbly limited menu, much like Supernova. Yeah. It's like they do a choice of about 4 or 5 burgers. There are no substitutions. There's various condiments. You can have fries, you can have milkshake, you can do ice cream. That's kind of it.
Dubious about that ice cream.
Somebody came in and said, I just stared at the menu. I'm like, there's nothing here I can eat. And apparently the guy behind the till said, well, that doesn't sound like a me problem.
It's
fantastic. There you go. Yeah, if only there were 28,000 other restaurants.
So now we know why they are called dicks.
Yeah.
Yes.
But again, to some extent, if only there were 28,000 other restaurants in Seattle you could possibly go and eat at with dietary requirements or dietary choices. That's kind of fun. But yes, so that's a hint of what I've been doing. I was eating dicks in Seattle. And what have you been up to?
I did not eat dicks, but I was in the United States. Mm-hmm. I went to Georgia and Tennessee, dipped into North Carolina for a very, very short sort of drive, but mostly Georgia and Tennessee, which is my home, where I grew up, my home, sweet home. So I was there to visit family and friends, and the best thing about it was obviously meeting family and friends. And aside from that, just weather was still pretty good. This was in October, and was outside a lot. I had to travel the world to realize I'm from a very beautiful part of it. So it was just really nice getting out in the mountains.
Ain't that always the way?
And traveling around, hiking, just enjoying wilderness and open spaces, and eating really, really well. And I need to thank my niece Holly, and her husband Carlos. My old friend from university, Chris, and my sister-in-law, Connie, for steering me in the right direction of some really great food. Particularly in Atlanta. It's like a different city than the one I remember when I was running around there in my 20s. And much better in most ways, and definitely more interesting food. It's dynamic. It's really on people, starting to be on people's radar now. Michelin just put out their first guide to Atlanta. Okay, so I had been to some now Michelin starred restaurants in Atlanta some time ago, but I was just on the trail with my connections there, my family and friends, happened upon a couple of Bib Gourmand Michelin places around Atlanta. One of them is called Fishmonger. They got a couple locations, and as you can tell, it's a fish restaurant, fish and seafood. And their blackened grouper sandwich is one of the yummiest lunches I ever had.
Fantastic.
Another restaurant, no secret, is called Heirloom, Heirloom Market. It's the way they describe it, it's traditional, it's American barbecue with a Korean pantry. So it's a couple. One guy's just, you know, good old, I think he's from Tennessee, but comes by Texas, and his partner is Korean, ethnically Korean, and they fuse what they learned growing up cooking for a very delicious barbecue restaurant. Yeah, so think pork rinds with kimchi, mayo, think, you know, your traditional sort of pulled pork, and then you get some more traditional sort of Korean style pickles and things on the side, things like that. It was fantastic.
That sounds very much in my wheelhouse. That's definitely good.
No secret. And like I said, you know, Michelin recognized them for just how gourmand they are. Not Michelin, but also finally got around to Buford Highway in sort of North Atlanta. And this is arguably one of the most delicious thoroughfares in the United States, okay? And maybe the past 20 years has transformed into somewhere really delicious. You know, a lot of little shopping centers and strip malls with almost any cuisine you can imagine along the way. Okay, so we parked in one strip mall, went to a fantastic Taiwanese restaurant called La Maize. I think I'm saying that right. Walked across the way to a little Chinese patisserie, had some treats there. And then went across the street to Supermercado Chicago, big Mexican supermarket where I had amazing carnitas tacos. So the best tacos I ever had.
It's amazing.
And, you know, there's another part farther along the way that's essentially, they call it the soul of the South, because it's just almost all Korean businesses. And you will eat well there and just... it's wonderful. And again, nobody, not a secret, most people around Atlanta, just in the South, know about Buford Highway, but I just never managed to get over there. Once, by the time I had moved here, it still wasn't a thing when I moved here, and just gradually building and building. And now it's a destination in itself, man. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's long time since I've been to Atlanta. I shall have to add it to the list. I mean, Georgia is my kind of very underexplored Southern state.
Yeah.
It's one of the time and some of the others. And
there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
With the film industry, I mean, really rivaling California, New York.
Yeah.
There's this big infusion of money and people from everywhere else, but even just such, it's just a lot.
Yeah, that little peach logo at the end credits.
There you go.
Pops up an awful lot.
Yeah.
So I was in Seattle, also doing quite a lot of good eating. Before that, I was in, I had a mad couple of weeks, flew to Seattle, then down to, for a night, then down to Sacramento, spent a few days in a place called Yolo County, which they swear by. They've always been called Yolo. It is not a recent name change. Y-O-L-O. Absolutely charming kind of agricultural part of California, sort of between Sacramento and Napa Valley.
Okay.
They are the most recently recognized wine region in the US.
Oh, very nice.
Some very, very good wine, some really interesting stuff going on, and not euphemistically, well, that's interesting. Actually genuinely interesting. Fantastic distillery called Patio 23, if I got that right. Where they're pretty much self-taught distillers, making a very, very good there. Somewhere in their ancestry, the family invented cinnamon flavored toothpicks. So they do a cinnamon, and they're sort of making a cinnamon whiskey as a tribute to that side of the family. They're also making a grappa with discarded grape must from one of the local wineries. So there's a lot of collaboration going on there, which is really good to see.
Okay.
Davis, probably heard most often as part of UCAL Davis.
Yeah.
So they're kind of the agricultural side of the University of California. Davis also home to the oldest farmers market in the US. Loads of amazing agriculture. They're growing rice. There's all sorts of stuff there. It's a really fascinating.
They grow rice in Central California.
Yeah, very, very pretty part of the world. And yeah, they're starting to push towards all the tourism thing, which is why I got invited over. So that was fun.
But then, Neil, your description of YOLO is giving me FOMO. Is there a FOMO county in California?
I think somebody should, if they haven't already.
All right.
That was, that was very cool. Popped to, I had an opportunity for a work thing to go to Boise, Idaho.
Oh, boy.
Which was every bit as lovely as everyone told me it would be.
Okay.
Again, amazing wine scene in Idaho.
What?
I was not expecting. Craft
potato
beer.
Wine.
Craft beer I was expecting.
With
potatoes
grapes.
I was expecting. Actual grapes, and some really, really good stuff. And then I went back to Seattle for a week. Again, like you, did some very, very good eating.
Would their wines be similar to maybe what you get in southern Germany or the Alpine countries?
There was a lot of very different grapes. There was, from my recollection, there were certainly slightly more kind of Italian style grapes than I was expecting in other places. They were tested again. I think the joy of these newer AVAs is the experimental nature. There's an awful lot of Petit Syrah, Petit Verdot coming out of the US as well, which is delightful to see because they're too fantastic.
So would you call it the Piemonte of America?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Okay.
I was hugely surprised by what I tried. But I was not expecting, when somebody says, Idaho wine, it's not, as you say,
Idaho wine.
You think potatoes.
Yeah. Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. But that was good. And then you get back to Seattle.
That's what Karen does in Idaho wine. No, it's too expensive.
And then, he says, fine again. Back to Seattle. Again, some very good eating. Particularly, is a restaurant in the Central District called Communion, which they describe as Seattle soul food.
Back to Seattle now.
Yeah, celebrating the immigrant communities that have been part of the Central District for a long, long time. So it's again, real odd mix of food in a kind of fusion style, but they're describing it as Seattle soul food. There's a post on my Instagram. Visually, it kind of needs to be seen rather than explained. And then also went to an amazing little restaurant called Off Alley, which, if I held my arms out wide, I was effectively the same width as the restaurant.
Wow.
It is just a tiny little narrow in a part of Seattle called Columbia. Superb little local neighborhood place, small plates, ever-changing menu. Phenomenal stuff. Really interesting, creative. So open kitchen. To get to the bathroom, you have to go through the kitchen. So you get to indulge all your beer fantasies by behind corner. On the way through.
Whose fantasies are those?
So anyone who's watched the Bear, I think, who's never worked in a restaurant. Behind. Fantastic. Again, really unexpected. Just a joyous little neighborhood place that would really kind of hold its own against anywhere else in Seattle. Phenomenal.
Okay. All right. Well, if you can travel back to Seattle for some fusion, I'm going to travel back to Atlanta for some fusion food. Another restaurant that was fantastic. It's a place called Gigi's. I forget the name of the neighborhood, but easy to find. Gigi's in Atlanta. I forget the name of the neighborhood. But what they do is it's like sort of classic Italian food, but using more traditional Georgia and Southern ingredients. So like a caponata with okra, things like that. And fantastic service. I was surprised. I was looking for their name when the Bib Gourmand list from Michelin came out. Not on there, I don't think. Double check. Just really nice service, great food, really nice venue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, really, really nice meal.
So what else have you been up to?
Okay, well, the other part of my trip was up near Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is very close to where I grew up. And it's not Atlanta, but it's a good food scene there as well. And it's a beautiful town. In fact, every time I go back there, it's just a little nicer and more interesting. And there's a little bit more thinking, I could actually live here, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great city to visit and have some fun. I got to catch up with some friends there and eat well. And a couple of places that come to mind, a little hole in the wall called Miss G's Tortas y Tamales off of Rossville Boulevard, which is sort of a notorious strip in Chattanooga, right on the Georgia border, and had great tamales there. Maybe the best tamales I've ever had. It's really good.
That's high praise.
And had a gigantic horchata that was like the size of this restaurant you went to in Seattle, apparently. The thing was just massive. I just said, yeah, I'll have an horchata. And they're like, and then that was great. Not far from there, but just kind of south of the state line in Rossville, Georgia, which is very close to where I grew up, and just a traditionally sort of Rust Belt kind of town. When the mill closed, it just became a giant meth lab. And but now there's actually a really great restaurant there, and it was so exciting.
Well, even seeing people working in meth labs next week.
Some enterprise, some real ideas, people doing something nice in that community. And it was a restaurant called Max Kitchen and Bar. Really interesting sort of what's fresh, what's seasonal, what's local concept. A delicious dish I had there was chicken of the woods and grits with fresh herbs, sorghum butter, and mizuna. So all this sort of stuff around in the woods, on the farms, local, that sort of thing. And turned it, grits, obviously very classic Georgia food, but turned into a really nice, tasty, and beautifully presented dish, Max, in Rossville, Georgia. And if you know Rossville, Georgia, you know that'd be very interesting. There's some nice dining options there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I've never not eaten in the southern US. So that's kind of, they like to feed.
Yes,
they like to feed.
Yes.
And when they do it well, they do it really, really well.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting the last few years just seeing this kind of new generation of people coming through.
Yeah.
More creativity, as you say, the fusion of different influences, people's own heritage or their travels or whatever else. No, it's good to see. Food should not be preserved in aspic
food
as such. Yes. It is just, things should move forward. As long as, again, I don't want to get into the cultural appropriation thing. I mean, as long as you're true to the sources, acknowledge where it's from, go off, blend these things together. There's some of the results. I have a couple of chef friends who have always sworn that the best food happens on borders. It's where that sort of someone from one area trying to recreate the flavors with the ingredients they've got to hand, or where they're using ingredients from the other side. That's where the
Atlanta's a great example of that, because obviously it's in, it's not near a terrestrial border, but if you've ever been to Atlanta Airport, it is very much a port of call for the world. So I think there's a bit of that happening with the Atlanta food scene. It's just
very international. It's a proper hub.
There you go.
It is a proper hub. So anything else? What have you, a good bet for cultural things?
One that's really was impressive. Again, in Atlanta, I went to this fantastic exhibition at Spelman College at their Museum of Fine Arts. Spelman is one of the few historically black colleges and universities in the U.S. And they had this fantastic exhibition by an artist, Harmonia Rosales, and the exhibition is called Master Narrative, and she takes sort of ideas from West African traditional beliefs, as well as No, every time we go somewhere, it's like really quiet. Yeah. And then people see that we're there and they sit down right beside us and get louder and louder and louder.
Yeah.
Take sort of stories from like traditional West African beliefs, mixes it with ideas about the Middle Passage, you know, the slave trade, and then represents that using fine art and Renaissance style paintings. And it is beautiful. It is angry. It is incendiary to certain people, I would imagine. But what was beautiful was this was really nice to see. And also, we were there on a Saturday morning. I was there with my niece, her husband, and a friend. And there was this huge group of teenagers huddled around. And we were like, oh no, these kids are just going to ruin it for us.
Yeah.
They were so into it. They were so excited about it. They were spending their Saturday morning looking at art. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I was standing there, they were talking about it, talking to themselves, looking at me like, who's this old man? And I'm just like, I love you, you're great. Yeah. So it was just really nice to see. How about you?
Yeah, I was like...
Oh, by the way, off I may, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I think that show is at Spelman until... sort of very early December, and then it's on the road. It might be going to Memphis next or Memphis very soon, so look it up.
Okay, well, we'll put everything in the caption, and then try and get down.
That show notes. Something I need they to. Call those show notes when it's podcast.
Ooh.
How about that?
Makes a note. Notes, right. I'm like thinking of being managing to read a lot more, which has been really nice.
Really?
Yeah, just, I don't know, I've kind of go through phases. I know there's that standard joke with lockdown where people go, I'm going to write a novel. And about 3 weeks into lockdown, people saying, I've forgotten how to read. There was just, I don't know, my mind was all over the place for a lot. And so I go through phases and kind of either devour books in about 2 days or don't read for a month or two at a time. But I seem to be back into the right headspace. I've been reading a lot of autobiographies. So just finishing something called Scattershot, which is Bernie Taupin, Elton John's lyricist.
Yeah.
Autobiography, which is phenomenal.
Why is it called Scattershot?
Because he jumps around all over the place.
Okay.
The way his mind works, it's not a linear tale of, you know, I was born, this happened, I met Elton, we did this. It's little episodes on his life, talking about the songs, some of the inspiration. Quite hilarious how many of the songs he seems to have forgotten, how they came about, or lyrics. Very interesting life, as you can imagine, from a man who's written those songs.
It's Elton really John songs poetic. Are Bernie Taupin songs, right?
Yeah.
Did he write, I guess that's why they call it the blues?
That's a very good question. I couldn't tell you.
That's fantastic, man.
I think he did.
Okay.
I think he did. But yeah, certainly all the early stuff. And there's some really great anecdotes, some really great stories. Made me snort with laughter a couple of times. Fantastically offensive on occasion. Not quite as offensive as the Elton John book, but I had to stop reading that one in public. And I've also read Berserker, which is Aid Edmondson's autobiography. Which
Who's
been,
that?
He was Vivian in The Young Ones.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Comedic actor, Mr. Jennifer Saunders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've been together a long, long time. So the whole comic strip presents stuff. Did not have a happy childhood.
No.
And he's written this very non-accusatory, just tell it like it is, tale of... The book's called Berserker. And it's really frank and open and honest. It's remarkably free of judgment, it seems. By his own admission, he's gone through a lot of work to... get to a stage where he's non-judgmental. It's incredibly affectionate about his partnership with Rick Mayall.
Yeah, okay.
It's a really, really good book. Not just as an autobiography, it's just that it's a very nicely told tale of someone just trying to, I don't know, do the best they can against some really interesting circumstances. But no, I was really surprised. I'd heard good things, and it absolutely surpass everything I've been told. So yeah, it's a Berserker, Aid Edmondson. Stick it in your Christmas stocking.
Yeah, that's a stocking stuffer, yeah.
Absolutely.
You could say that about Dix as well. Yeah.
I think, they go soggy. They'd be soft by the time that Christmas morning came around. And no, maybe good. Once yeah, after.
No, not for Christmas.
Sorry, mother.
On that note, anything else?
No, I think that's everything. I guess, right. We just do the usual social media handles. You can always track me down at DineHard on Instagram and increasingly Threads.
Okay.
We are jettisoning, or have jettisoned, the bin fire that is X, and really focusing on Threads now. But Instagram is mostly where you'll find me.
Oh, that's
Occasionally
great.
TikTok, but I haven't really done an awful lot on TikTok.
All right. I'm Chris Osborne, OSBURN, on Twitter and Threads. I'm enjoying Threads. My blog is Tiki Chris. I'm kind of doing some things on there that might look interesting, worth reading at the moment, in fact. What you're probably going to hear now or very soon is a song called The Year Was Strange by a band, E-Nub. And we're going to record this another episode very soon.
Absolutely. Okay, yes. Good. Yes. Right. I think the travel kind of messed up our schedule, but we're doing really well. So we'll get back
on a roll.
So thanks for listening.
Thanks, Cheers, Chris.